Criminal Justice Subcommittee will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Trunell.
Here.
Vice Chair Barnaby.
Here.
Ranking Member Rayner Goolsbee.
Present.
Representatives Abbott.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Brackett.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Brannan.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Garcia.
Present.
Gottlieb. Jock.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Plakin.
Here.
Silvers. Stark.
Here.
Tuck.
Here.
Yurkowski. The chairs, our quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay. I want to remind everyone to please silence their cell phones. Also, as a reminder for members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. I also request that you please fill out a public appearance card if you intend to speak before the committee. Well, thanks for being here, everyone. Today we'll be considering four bills. HB 65, withholding funds from the return of cash bonds. HB 119, visiting county municipal detention facilities. HB 185, catalytic converters. HB 273, public records, autopsy reports of minor victims of domestic violence. So first up today, we have HB 273. Public records, autopsy reports of minors, victims of domestic violence by Representative Clemens. Representative Clemens, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, Ranking Member. Thank you for hearing this bill this morning. And this bill is about humanity. And if you are a parent, you will feel it. If you are, like me, a grandparent, you will feel it even more. HB 273 does have to do with public records and autopsy reports of children who are victims of domestic violence. This bill passed unanimously three committees last session and passed unanimously on the floor. Mr. Chairman, the bill is almost identical, but we do have two amendments. If you don't mind, I'll explain the bill, and then we'll address the amendments as you see fit.
Yes, sir, you are recognized.
Thank you. Members of the committee, on May the 4th, 2021, Rex, who was a young man of the age of 14, and his younger brother, Brody, who had just turned 11, they were brutally murdered by their father, who then set their home on fire and committed suicide. The boy's mother, Mindy Reinhart, she desired as a mother, as a loving mother, never to learn the gory details of her two children's murder. Notwithstanding Mindy's objections, the medical examiner, by Florida law, properly released Rex and Brody's autopsy reports to the press, rightfully citing the Florida's broad public records law, which we're all proud of. And those describe the location and the number of gunshot wounds both of the boys suffered. News outlets from across the country was a flashpoint. They immediately ran stories upon the release of the medical examiner's report, some of which included descriptive details about how those boys died. Quote, according to the medical examiner, Brody suffered four gunshot wounds in the head, neck, chest, hands, arms. Rex was shot in the head, in the back of the neck. Soot from the fire was found on his body and clothing, according to WCJB-TV, Gainesville. Their mother was unable to avoid any of this news, given the extensive media coverage and thousands of individuals in our community that reached out to her when these horrific details became public. In addition to the mother, Mindy, and her family, the minor classmates of Rex and Brody were also exposed to graphic information of exactly how these boys died. Each of these young boys' friends have one of these, like you do in their pocket. And within a matter of days, there are graphic websites that cater to publishing graphic pictures of people's autopsies, and these two boys were included in that dissemination. So due to such sensitive and illustrative information being widely available in the public, their mother was stripped of her parental right never to know or understand the details of how her two children were murdered. This legislation, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, will create a very narrow public records exemption for autopsy reports of minors' children whose deaths were the result of domestic violence. The language does provide for an exception of a surviving parent to retain any and all parental rights to view and copy the report, provided they were not the parent that caused the children's death. The bill would also provide a surviving parent who was not the offender to be given reasonable notice of any petition filed with the court to review or copy the medical examiner's report, as well as to be provided the opportunity to be present and heard at any related hearing. The bill provides an exemption that will stand repealed, as all public exemption records are repealed in 5 years unless they are renewed by the Florida legislature. And this bill provides a legislative findings and effective date upon becoming law. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Questions? Any members have questions on the bill? Representative Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Rick. It's a great bill. I'm going to be up on it. Just a quick, for my own information, Marcy's Law that we have now where they don't have to identify the victims, does this tie into something like that, or could that mother had?
Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
I'm not an expert on the Marcy's Law, but apparently, as I have gone through this in the last year and a half, the Marcy's Law had nothing that was tangential to keeping these particular children's autopsy reports shielded from any sort of dissemination by anyone you ask. And that's the current law now.
Thank you, Chair.
And thank you for your support last year, Representative Casello.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, there are two amendments. First amendment is barcode 453817. Representative Clemens, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a clarifying amendment referring to the minor's autopsy report and not photographs or videos of the minor's autopsy report. So it's just cleaning up language to make sure that there's no misunderstanding of what exactly would be shielded.
This amendment is the other amendment that has to do with
the
title.
I don't have a number in my book, so I just took number one.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, then this is number two I just explained. Number one is just taking the surname. The mother, surviving parent, did not want the surname attached to this act, and it would just be named the Rex and Brody Act, taking out their last name. That was this particular amendment.
Thank you for that. Questions? Any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, any public testimony? Seeing no appearance cards, public testimony. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate. Representative Clemens, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for hearing this gut-wrenching rendition of what has happened to this mother. And to my good friends, the grandparents, Mike and Tammy, I hope that through this work and your vote, we can keep future parents from having to go through the grief, not only during the time where you're burying your children or your grandchildren, but each and every day thereafter, for as long as that parent or that grandparent lives, if that material is floating around on the internet and can never go away. By your vote, you can change that. I'm proud of Florida's public records laws. I think we are a model for the nation. In crafting this particular bill, we have crafted it so narrow that it doesn't open a big hole in our wonderful public records bill. And I ask each and every one of you, stop the pain for the future parents and vote up on this great bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying yeah. Opposed? By your vote, the amendment is adopted. The final amendment is barcode 018057. Representative, you are recognized.
I'll waive explaining that one since I already have.
Any questions on that amendment? Any public testimony? Any member wishing to debate? Representative Clemens, you're recognized. Closed.
I waive.
With that, we will vote on the adoption of the amendment, signified by saying yay.
Yay.
Any opposed? By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Back on the bill as amended. Is there any public testimony on the bill? We have one appearance card. Ashley Richardson. Florida Public Defenders Association, waiving in support. Okay. Are there any members wishing to debate on the bill? Ranking Member Rayner Goolsbee, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Clemens, you and I have talked extensively about this bill. You know how I feel about it. And I remember last session, I think almost every member on the committee said it was hard, became very emotional. I thank you so much for refiling this bill, making sure that parents who have gone through the unspeakable are able to have some dignity as they and be able to make choices for their children, even in death, and parent their children, even in death. And, you know, I'm going to be up on this bill and whatever you need from me to help move this bill across the finish line and get it signed into law, I will do. And I just urge the rest of the members to be up on this bill as well. But thank you so much for this very, very good bill.
Thank you. Representative Baker, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Clemens, I commend you for bringing this great piece of legislation. You know, we must protect our children. They're our most vulnerable, and that's what this good bill does. It protects them from people wanting to exploit them. And so I urge my colleagues to vote up on this bill. Thank you so much for bringing it.
Any other debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Clemens, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In thinking what I was going to say to my colleagues in closing, I can only say that I've probably broken the number one rule as a state representative that you probably were taught when you were a freshman, and that's don't get married to a bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I'm thoroughly wedded to this bill. I would go to the ends of the earth to help not only these parents who have suffered. I can't describe how much suffering has occurred because of this. We work together to pass this bill, and we will save the suffering for countless others. And I hope that no one suffers like these parents and grandparents, but by your vote today in the affirmative, we will close the door to make sure that the exportation of those graphic type of photographs do not occur and cannot cause everlasting harm. With that, Mr. Chairman, I close.
Thank you, Representative Clemens. Having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 273 and announce the vote.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rayner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkovsky?
Yes.
Chair Trunell?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 273 reported favorably. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Next up, we have HB 65, withholding funds from the return of cash bond, by Representative Andrade. You are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. House Bill 65 corrects two issues that currently exist in Florida law. The first being the structure of our cash bail system that allows for innocent third parties to be subjected to the criminal fines and fees of a criminal defendant, despite that innocent third party never being accused of a crime, prosecuted for a crime, or found guilty of anything at all. Simply, the only crime they've committed is doing a favor for their friend by bailing them out of jail. The other impropriety in Florida law currently is the carve-out for bail bondsmen themselves. Currently, the only folks that are not subjected to having to pay the criminal fines and fees of the person they're bailing out of jail are bail bondsmen. I don't personally like carve-outs, and I think eliminating that carve-out is a good thing for Florida and a good thing for freedom.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Rep. Andrade. Is there any specific reason that the bill doesn't allow for the cash depositor to check off a box allowing for the surrender, if they so choose, of their cash bond?
Representative?
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb, the main reason is the same way that I think it was, Mr. Bloomberg, who came to the state a couple years ago and just started paying the fines and fees for folks with criminal records in the state to restore their voting rights. Once they get their money back, they're more than welcome to do it if they want. Imposing some type of additional logistical dynamic there is just not something that I felt very passionate about including in the bill.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
But since that logistical technicality already exists, the way I see it, and I understand what you're talking about voting rights, but it just seems to me that this would make more sense for the municipality, for the clerk system, if somebody's saying, I've already surrendered the money, I'll get it back from my friend, why not let it be used for fees, fines, and costs so that the court system is made whole?
You're recognized.
So, Representative Gottlieb, what I was essentially trying to say is the clerks can inform anyone posting cash bond that they have the option to do that right now. It's their right. It's their money. If clerks tell me that they need legislative authority to include that information or decide to make it a policy in their county to tell people posting cash bonds for third parties that they have the option to pay fines and fees anyway, they're more than welcome to do so. And if they tell me they need the legislative authority or direction to be allowed to do that, then I would actually consider putting it in. It's just currently, this is an individual's money. Once they've upheld their end of the bargain, making sure that the person they bailed out of jail shows up to every court hearing, shows up to the end of their criminal case, it's their money, and they're entitled to have it back.
Representative Costello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb's question answered my question.
Thank you, sir. Any more questions on the bill? All right. Are there any amendments on the bill? Seeing no amendments on the bill, any public testimony on the bill? We have Chris Strandberg, Americans for Prosperity, waving in support. We have Kara Gross, American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, waving in support. We have Jason Harrell, Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers, waving in opposition. Sean Foster, Florida Bail Agents Association, opponent. You wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first really just want to thank Representative Andrade. Anytime you would like to speak with him, he calls you back immediately. We've talked about this bill for the past 2 years, and I thank you again for your time this week. I just want to give a little bit of background and history on this bill also, to give you a little bit of footprint. This bill was filed last year as a charity bail bill, originally, to allow charity bail like the Bail Project in the state of Florida. It was then amended to be a bill pretty similar to this bill here today. Our concerns are quite simply, in the language of this, you would allow one individual to bail out 100 people a month, unlimited amounts of people a month. They are unregulated and unlicensed. I think there are some consumer protections, Representative Gottlieb, that you were trying to allude to. One, these folks are reading this language on a piece of paper at the jail. It's in a 6 to 8 font. Many of you have signed many mortgage papers and loans and haven't read all the information on there. Some of them aren't even aware that the money goes and they lose the money if they don't get the person back to jail. So I think there are some things that can be done to make this a little bit of a better bill. I'd like to continue to work with Representative Andrade. But I just want to say the Bail Project has tried to get a footprint in the state of Florida for many years. Jeff Brandis tried to do it. He tried to have several bills that come to the state of Florida. This bill kind of puts that foot in the door for that group. It would allow an individual, an executive director of a nonprofit, to do unlimited amounts of folks in jail at any time. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Andrade, is there any debate on the bill? Members, do you have anyone who wishes to speak? Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand that this is maybe to protect the consumer, but Reverend Andrade, I appreciate you saying that, you know, you didn't want people from out of the state coming and paying fines like Bloomberg, you know, or anybody paying somebody else's bond because it does pay the fees, fines, and costs, which enables that person perhaps to get their right to vote back. So to me, this seems like that's what this bill is trying to intend, which is to disenfranchise people to have the right to vote based on your stated answer. I also don't see the harm in simply adding a box on the bail paperwork that tells somebody that if they so choose, they could allow that to be surrendered so that the clerks and comptrollers would have that money. We have a judicial system that needs funding. And very often, once an individual is done with their court case, many courts throughout the state are now saying that fees, fines, and costs are outside the probation obligation. So the collection of those fees, fines, and costs is becoming increasingly more difficult, and therefore the clerks have to come to the legislature for the money. And I just think it makes good financial fiscal policy for that bond to be surrendered if somebody wants it to be surrendered.
Any other member wish to debate? Seeing no members wishing to debate, Representative Andrade, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I would have waved close, but there were a couple statements there that I wanted to address. First, last year I filed this bill initially to try and I filed this bill to allow corporations not to have fines and fees taken out because there were the financial impact concerns that clerks have. And for new members of the Florida legislature, one thing that we probably should address in the very near future is how our clerks of courts are funded in the state. Because right now, I believe it's a perverse incentive for them to depend on their collections of fines and fees to make ends meet on their budget. They're the only constitutional authority that depends on the collection of criminal fines and fees like traffic or fines assessed during a criminal case to make ends meet on their base budgets and keep their employees employed. That's a problem in and of itself. But two wrongs don't make a right. And the fact that currently right now we're subjecting innocent third parties to having their money taken without their real permission, to quote the Alabama side of my family, it just ain't right. I filed the bill last year in a limited capacity because clerks were concerned about their funding. Once I realized that clerks would not come to me with a full breakdown of the funding model and how much they depend on the collection from third parties, I broadened it. And I allowed the clerks, and I told the clerks, if you come to me with the true fiscal impact of, you know, what would happen if you stop taking innocent people's money involuntarily, we can work on adjusting, setting up a glide path or something to fix this perverse model that we have in the state. In common parlance, everybody understands when you post a bond, when you bail a friend out of jail, your end of the bargain is to make sure they show back up for their court hearing. And if they do, the risk you took on by posting your money with the clerk, you get back by upholding your end of the bargain. The fact that we take innocent people's money involuntarily is just a dynamic that I'm passionate about, and I think a two-page bill will fix it. I do appreciate the fact that, on one hand, this is a secret conspiracy by the Bail Project to get in the door in Florida, which, by the way, in Florida law, they can bail out however many people they like currently. Bail Project's already a registered entity here in the state. They're already operating. So are churches, so are grandmothers, so are buddies, so are fraternity brothers who've bailed people out of jail. They can bail as many people out as they like currently. The only thing this is changing is that when they do, they're not improperly subjected to the criminal punishments that their buddy or friend or colleague incurred. That's it. I believe that the secret conspiracies on the Bail Project side or the secret conspiracy that I'm trying to disenfranchise voters, I don't know which one it is, but if I'm making both sides very nervous, I'm probably like over the strike zone on good policy. So anyway, I'd appreciate y'all's support. This is a very simple bill, and I look forward to continue working with it.
Thank you, Representative Andrade. Having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 65 and announce the vote.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
No.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
No.
Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin?
No.
Rainer Goolsbee?
No.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkoski?
Yes.
Chair Trunell?
Yes.
14 yeas and 4 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 65 reported favorably. Thank you, sir. Next up, we have HB 185, Catalytic Converters, by Representative Hawkins. Representative Hawkins, you are recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Barnaby, Ranking Member Rainer Goolsbee. Members, it's my honor to be in front of you today to present HB 185. This legislation is modeled after the Florida Airbag Anti-Theft Act passed in the 1990s. This language is an effort to help law enforcement crack down on catalytic converter theft while still protecting the legal market for buying and selling catalytic converters. Section 2 provides definitions. Section 3 lists record-keeping requirements. Most business-to-business transactions already have these records-keeping protocols in place. Section 4 states that if a person is in possession of two or more converters, unless satisfactorily explained, it gives rise to an inference that they knew or should have known that they may be stolen. Section 5 lists the prohibitions and penalties, including to purchase a detached catalytic converter, you must be a registered secondary metals recycler. To sell or possess a detached catalytic converter, you must provide proof of ownership. Creates a third-degree felony if a person knowingly possesses, purchases, sells, or installs a stolen catalytic converter, a catalytic converter that has had identification numbers removed, or detached catalytic converters without proof of ownership unless the person is a secondary metals recycler, salvage, motor vehicle dealer, or entity that is currently exempt from the restrictions or sales to secondary metal recyclers. This bill provides inference that a person who is in possession of two or more catalytic converters, as I said, detached catalytic converters, is presumed to know or should know that the catalytic converters may be stolen. This bill also has consumer protections. Being defrauded by prohibiting a person from knowingly importing, manufacturing, purchasing, selling, or installing a fake, counterfeit, or non-functional catalytic converter in a motor vehicle, a violation which is punishable as a second-degree felony. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions on the bill? Representative Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawkins, I never knew catalytic converters were a problem here. With all the issues with this body faces on a daily basis, that converters would be one of the issues that we're voting on here today. And I wasn't brought to my attention until I started reading some of these articles in the paper. And my question is, how much is a catalytic converter worth? I mean, getting those metals out where you would have to go under a car or a truck to remove them.
Representative Hawkins, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is a great question, Representative. Detached catalytic converters can be sold anywhere from $30 to $1,500.
Follow-up?
All set, Chair. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
I guess my question is, I think it was last year we raised the threshold on grand theft from $300 to $750. So if I understand your bill correctly, somebody can steal a catalytic converter, whether they're charged with burglary or any other crime. If they're charged with possession of a catalytic converter and the value of that converter is only $30, they'll be facing a third-degree felony?
Representative Hawkins, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's a second-degree felony for the possession, but it's more than one catalytic converter, actually, to give that evidence that they're probably stolen. So I think it would be the total amount of all catalytic converters. If you put two or more together, yeah, I think it would meet that threshold, but I'm no expert in that portion of the law. Thank
you. Questions? Seeing no more questions, are there any amendments on the bill? There's one amendment on the bill. Amendment barcode 938723. Representative Hawkins, you're recognized. Explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment aligns record-keeping requirements for secondary metal recyclers and penalties for non-compliance with existing law, prohibits a secondary metals recycler from possessing or removing a detached catalytic converter from its place or business for 10 days from the date of purchase, and reorganizes HB 185 to improve clarity and delete duplicative provisions. That's the amendment.
Thank you. Any questions on the amendment? Questions? Any public testimony? No public testimony. Are there any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I waive close.
With that, all those in favor of adopting the amendment signify by saying yay.
Yay.
All opposed? By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Back on the bill as amended. Is there any public testimony on the bill? Leslie Duga? Wave and support. Thank you. Jim Magel, Florida Recyclers Association. Thank you. Katie Kelly, County Sheriff's Office, Collier County, wave in support, wave in opposition, sorry.
Support.
Amanda Frazier, Florida Auto Dismantlers and Recyclers Association, wave in support. Amanda Frazier, Florida Catalytic Converter Recycling Coalition, wave in support. Lieutenant Dale Mack, Orange County Sheriff's Office, proponent. Would you like to speak? Wave in support. Thank you very much. Are there any members that wish to debate? Ranking Member Rayner Goolsbee, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hawkins, thank you for this bill. I will tell you, many of you know that my word is my bond, so I've have agreed that I'm going to vote up on this bill, but I do have a little bit of a concern of kind of the creation of new felonies and those types of things. But because that I am going to vote up, I hope that we can have a meaningful conversation. I was gone last week, as many of y'all have commented. and so we haven't had the opportunity to really have a conversation about kind of just some of the implications of this. So I would love to welcome the opportunity just to speak with you to get a greater understanding, and if there needs to be some amendments that, you know, happen, that we can work together on that. But I do thank you for the essence of what you're trying to do. I definitely understand that it is an issue. I have family members who are in actually the catalytic and recycling business. So I get that this is a real thing. So I will be up on this bill today, but I definitely would love to have just a more meaningful and intentional conversation with you about this.
Thank you, Representative Gottlieb. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I like the bill. I understand what you're trying to do. I can't support it because of the enhanced criminal penalties. And here's the reason why. It's a grand theft in the state of Florida if I steal a firearm, a will, an entire motor vehicle, commercially farmed animals, a fire extinguisher, which creates a significant public safety hazard. Yet here, even if I steal two, it's not a second degree felony. And I understand the need. I understand there's an epidemic. I just think there's a better way to fix it. So at this point in time, I'm going to vote no. And I hope that maybe you and I can have a conversation and fix a bill moving forward from my perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Garcia, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hawkins, thank you for bringing this great bill. We have this issue in Miami-Dade County, and a fleet of the buses that transport our seniors to the daycares, they stole all the all the catalytic converters from the fleet. So that was, that's a problem. And I think that this bill will help stop that epidemic of stealing converters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Brennan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has been a problem for years. There have been rashes of these things. These folks that take these creepers and go into these cars and just wear you out. And if somebody saws one off of your car, it's a big expense to get it fixed. And to rib my friend, Rep. Casello, just a little bit, while y'all were down at the firehouse asleep, we were out working these crimes. So I'm glad that you're educated now.
Thank you. Representative Michael, you're recognized.
Hi, Representative. Thank you for bringing this forward. In my district as well, we have seniors, their transportation, these catalytic converters have been stolen, and it seems like they go down a row and just hit several. So I understand the need of what you've written in here as far as the number of converters that are stolen, and I've been just rattling my brain trying to figure out what do I do? To try and right this wrong. So I thank you for bringing this forward, and I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Representative Yarkoski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I can speak personally to this and to echo my colleague, Representative Garcia. In 1999, when I moved to Miami after graduating college, I worked in the scrap metal business on the Miami River, Northwest North River Drive and 27th Avenue. And I can tell you that never did anyone show up with more than two catalytic converters that the police were not being involved. So this is there's no collection of catalytic converters. There's no sport in catalytic converters. Anybody possessing them in excess of two is for one reason only. They probably got Sawzalls in the back of their car as well and everything else. So this causes major issues. Those precious metals are worth big money. And let's face it, we're in desperate times. Desperate people do desperate things. So I think what you're doing is great, and I can speak personally that this is a great fix, and a lot of innocent people will be given some protection here. So God bless you for bringing this. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Representative Hawkins, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd like to start off by going back to the first bill you heard with Chuck Clemens saying you shouldn't get married to legislation. Well, I'm not married to this, but when I saw this bill come up, I wanted to run it because in 1970, my father brought the first portable car crusher to Florida and started going around crushing cars. And, of course, you grew up with a father like I had. You're in the business. I have cut thousands of catalytic converters off of cars before they went to be scrapped, and you know, had to take the people that, oh, his dad's just a junk man. My dad would always correct you and say it's a salvage yard, not a junkyard. And Dad, if you're watching, I want to tell you I'm very proud of the life you provided for us being that junk man. I would say this, that Representative Stark knows that we were in the business, living in the area. We had two salvage yards up till 2004. Representative Garcia, thank you for co-sponsoring this bill. And to those that have questions, want further conversation, I'm absolutely open door. Just let me know when you want to speak. According to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, catalytic converter theft has increased by 1,215% since 2019. This is a major crime. I've heard of a school district that went to put their buses out on a Monday morning and found out that every one of them had been cut off over the weekend. Shopping malls in our major areas, they're watching, and now with the ability and strength of a portable Sawzall, it can take just a minute to get these. They know which, the thieves know which ones are more profitable, from your BMWs and your foreign cars to your larger domestic products. They know what they're looking for. So don't be surprised until we get this in place and we give law enforcement more tools in their toolbox. This legislation will take care of that and protect the consumer. With that, Mr. Chairman, I close.
Thank you, Representative Hawkins. Having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 185.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb? Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Tier Trunell?
Yes.
17 yeas, one nay, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 185 reported favorably. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, members.
Next up, we have HB 119, Visiting County and Municipal Detention Facilities, by Representative Benjamin. Representative Benjamin, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Vice Chair, and Ranking Member Goolsbee. It is a pleasure to be before the board again with regards to this bill. This was my first bill. They said, don't get married to a bill. This is my first bill in this legislature when I was a freshman three sessions ago. And it came to me through the Senator Jason Pizzo, who found that the jails were not under our purview with regards to our ability to go to a correction facility unannounced. And if any of you have visited a prison, you understand the importance of being able to go to a facility unannounced and to see what the true condition of that facility is and how they truly treat the prisoners there and the conditions under which they live. Well, we don't get that same privilege in our county or municipal correction facilities. So what this bill does is extend our privilege from not just our state prisons, but also the county and municipal jails. That is a bill.
Thank you, sir. Any questions on the bill? Members, questions? No questions? Are there any amendments? No amendments on the bill. Is there public testimony on the bill? Kara Gross, American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, wave in support. Chris Strandberg, Americans for Prosperity, wave in support. Loretta Phillipson, Florida Cares, wave in support. Are there any members wishing to debate on the bill? Ranking Member Rainer Goolsbee, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Benjamin, thank you so much for this good bill. If I recall, I believe that this bill passed off of the House floor previously. And so I am hoping that we will again pass it off the House floor and it will pass through the Senate and get signed by the governor. I think that this is a good bill. This is solid legislation. Thank you so much for carrying this torch in the House for this bill. And I will be up on this bill, and I encourage all of our members to be up on this bill. and most of you who served last time voted up on this bill. And so I would ask you to keep that same vote. Thank you.
Any other debate? Representative Bracey Davis, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I echo the sentiments of our ranking member. Thank you for this bill, Rep. Benjamin. I think it's really important. As a freshman, I've had the opportunity to visit several prisons unannounced, and I'd like to have that same opportunity, as I think it is my duty as a legislator. So thank you for this, and I will be voting up on the bill.
Any more debate? Seeing no more debate, Representative Benjamin, you are recognized to close on your bill.
And with the interest of time, I waive close.
Having closed on his bill, Representative Benjamin, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 119 and announce the vote.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Bracey Davis?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb? Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yurkowski? Chair Trunell?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 119 reported favorably. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Does any committee members have any comments or announcements? Seeing none, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Members, if there's no further business, Representative Yurkowski, who is absent, moves we rise without objection. This meeting is adjourned.